Okay, I kind of did my own thing with this. I hope y'all don't mind, but I've still got the workbook in front of me. I had got Barb's workbook and read through it, and you know, we're still in the book of James. Of course, last week, Brother Joe was able to give us the introduction last week into James, told us a little bit about who James was and the fact that you know, he was a servant of God, and of course, he was also the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was a servant of Christ as well, because he loved Christ with all of his heart, especially after Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. It seemed to be a lot more important to his earthly stepbrother, so to speak, because he saw who his brother really was, that Christ was the Son of God, that Christ was the Messiah. And James actually saw that, but he didn't see it until after the fact. So let's read verses 1 through 5 together. I'll read it out loud, and then we'll make our lesson from there. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So James here, he had a message that he wanted to share. And of course, you know, the memory verse for this past week was chapter 1, verse 4. But the whole issue with this, according to your workbook, was the issue In the Christian life. Actually, it is the Christian life. Because believe it or not, when a person gets saved, the first thing a lot of pastors and teachers out there that are teaching a false doctrine want to tell people is that when you get saved, everything's going to be great. No more problems, no more trials, no more tests. But that's nothing more than a lie. And James wanted to make sure that people got the truth. And when they got the truth out of the book of James, he wanted them to take their trials and turn them into triumph. He wanted people to know that when you go through trials, believe it or not, you can come out at the end as the winner and not the loser. Trials, they work patience. You know, somebody very near and dear to me years ago made the comment that I will never pray for patience. I will never ask God for patience. And I never understood that until I got older in life. Actually, it was my mother that said that. She told me, she said, I won't ever pray for patience. And she said, don't ever ask God for patience, Roy. And I said, well, why not? And she said, because. She said, you'll learn about it one day. And it's because it takes trials sometimes to build patience within us. But those that kind of a patience that we can get from what James is talking about here is the kind of a patience that gives us the triumph over the trials when they come our way. So, and we're all going to go through trials. We're not going to get out of that. And I guess the one that lays deepest on my heart right now is what Joe and Debbie's going through. They're going through a very testing time in their life. They're going through trials right now. And the main thing that they need from us is prayer. As much prayer as we can possibly give them, we need to bathe our brothers and sisters in prayer. And you know, it's not just Joe and Debbie, but it's anyone in our church. When somebody's going through a difficult time, and I know we're, you know, we call ourselves an independent fundamental Baptist church, and I mentioned that Wednesday night when we had an opportunity. Brother Dale did a great job Wednesday night, and one of the things that he mentioned was, well, he asked us to give a testimony, so I stood up and I gave a testimony, and one of the things that I mentioned was just because we're independent fundamental Baptist church is no sign we have to be independent from one another. We need to know when there's trials in somebody's life. And that's part of being a church, being part of a local church, is helping each other through those trials. But the real problem, honestly, it doesn't make sense, but the real problem with Christianity is Christianity itself. Because of Christianity, we go through difficult times. But also because of the Christianity and the fact that we're saved and we've got our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can also claim victory over those trials when they come our way. We don't have to sit down on the back seat and say, it's all over, because it's not. You know, those trials that we go through, and that's why, you know, our brother that wrote the book here says, the perfect work of patience, because that's what it is. When we get through the patient part of it, God is teaching us patience sometimes through the trials and through a certain work that he puts us through. But in if you read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, which we just read, and I added number 1 to that as well, allowing patience to have her perfect work in our life. Sometimes we don't want trials, but it's okay to have a trial. I never sit down and say, Lord, send me a trial today. Anybody that does that, there's something wrong with them. But we're going to go through those trials because we're Christian. We're either going to suffer for the cause of Christ or we're going to suffer because we live in a physical body. And our physical bodies create problems for us. And people are our biggest enemy, believe it or not, whether it's in the Christian realm or outside the Christian realm. If you work out in the world, then, you know, the world's going to give you problems. And it's always going to be difficult. It's easier sometimes to get through these trials as long as we learn to take them to the Lord. And sometimes there's something to learn. There's always something to learn out of a trial. That's why when we're going through specific things, we need to ask God, Lord, why? Why am I going through this? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we don't want to question God, but we want to know why. Is there something in this trial that I'm going through? Is there something in here for me to learn? And so a part of that, a lot of times, is to draw us closer to him, to where we those trials that we go through can become perfect, because we often forget that God's strength comes through in our weaknesses. And we are weak. We're very weak individuals, and we can't go through those trials without him. But a lot of times we try to do that anyway. We try to go through those trials on our own. And rather than getting down on our knees when the trials come our way and the testings come our way, rather than get down on our knees and say, Lord, I need to understand why I have to go through this, what we often do is we try to get through it on our own, and that's the worst thing to do. Don't try to go through trials on your own. And share with other Christians, like Christians. Share those trials with them as well. It's good to get it out sometimes. Don't try to keep it all into yourself. But I'm sure you've all seen the bumper sticker that reads, when life hands you a lemon, make lemonade. You know, and that's what trials are all about. And that's that, to me, that's kind of like taking those trials that come our way, and if we handle it just right, you know, we can make lemonade out of that stuff, you know. But it's got to have a little sugar added to it. I can't drink lemonade without sugar in it. I don't know about the rest of you, but and life is the same way. You got to get a little sugar into life once in a while, and that comes by being able to share those trials with other people and letting them help you get through that as well. But the Epistle of James, you know, it tells us that we can have the same experience today that they went through at this time that James was talking about here. But throughout the Bible, there are people who turned defeat into victory. And I think of people like Gideon. When Gideon had an opportunity God called Gideon to go out and take on another army. And he told him, he said, you know, Gideon had 10,000 men. And then eventually God worked that down. He said, no, you don't need 10,000 men. You need this. And then God told him how he was going to get him down to that point. And all the way to the point where it was end up the 300 men that were left, depending on how they drank the water, where they bent down and they drank it like a dog would, or they lapped it from their hands. And you know, Gideon at that time, that was quite a trial for Gideon. And sometimes when our trials come our way, we try to get through them on our own without the help of other Christians and without the help of God. And sometimes we fail. Yes, sir. They do. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is how this came out. This is how this came out.
Yeah. They do. God doesn't allow anything to happen that's not part of his plan for our life. I believe sometimes we can bring things on ourselves by stepping outside of the will of God. And I think when we do that, God will do something to reel us back in and get us where he wants us to be, to get us focused back on where we need to be. But instead of being victims all the time of our trials by not sharing them with others and taking it to the Lord, we need to become victors in those the things that we become a victim in. Don't stay a victim. Become a victor simply by taking it to God in prayer and getting other people to pray. Even if it's in an unspoken prayer request, we're always asking that. When we talk about prayer requests, anybody got any unspoken prayer requests? And somebody always has an unspoken prayer request. And I understand people are private. I'm a very private person most of the time. But when trials come our way and we need help, It's okay to go to a brother or sister and say, hey, listen, I'm going through a hard time. I got these things I got to go through this week. Especially if you work out in the world. And I know what that's like. I still work out in the world. But every now and then, not like I used to, but praise God for that. But instead of being victims of those trials and those testings that come our way, and see, God don't tempt us. The Bible's clear. God cannot tempt any man. But it depends on what you look at the word tempted. It depends. You got to be able to rightly divide the word of God. There's parts in the Bible where it says that God sent a temptation or whatever, but God don't tempt us to commit sin. He tests us. That word temptation sometimes can be interpreted as a test. And so a lot of times the trials that we go through, God allows those to happen, or he even institutes those sometimes to make us stronger, to make us more dependent on him. And he wants us to go to him with everything that we possibly can. But the Christian life is in an individual matter. So my trials that I go through may not be the same as you go through. And we're not all going through the same trials every single day, but God allows those things to happen in our life and uses that as an opportunity to draw us closer to him. And if we don't use the trial correctly and we don't look at it as an opportunity to be drawn closer to him and to depend more on him, and see, that's part of that patient thing. A part of patience is sometimes we have to learn to be patient with God, and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we become very impatient, and when we do that, we step outside of the will of God in a trial that may be coming our way, and as a result of that, we don't grow. We don't learn from it. And so that trial may come back again, and it may circle all the way back again, and God takes us in another direction, but then the same trial will come up all over again to let us know, hey, you didn't learn the lesson. And sometimes God, all of our trials are for a reason. They're all for testing. But the Christian life is tough. And I would tell nobody that the moment you get saved, you know, life's 100% better, because it's not. You're still a human being. You're still going to have a struggle with sin, but you're going to struggle with physical ailments. I mean, look at our brother Joe and right now what he's going through, and others. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life in our church. What I like to know, I'd like to know how to pray for people, and that's important that we understand that. And that's why sometimes we say, any unspoken prayer request, a hand goes up, and we say, okay, we'll pray for that. But sometimes it's good to know what we're praying about. But some things are personal and they are private. We need to keep it that way. But the key to turning those trials into triumph is to simply obey certain things that James mentioned here in the book of James. In chapter 1, verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into brothers and into diverse temptations. And I think in order for us to take a trial and turn it into a triumph, we have to be obedient to the imperatives that are here. It's vital. He says, count it all joy. Add that up as, okay, this is a joyful time in my life. And that's a hard thing to do, to find happiness or joy in a trial. But that's what James is telling us to do there. He says, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. And that word diverse means various or many different types of temptations. And your temptations or your trials that you go through are different than mine. Mine are different than yours. And every one of us goes through those trying times. But James says to count it all joy. And then in verse 3, he says, using the word know, in chapter 1, verse 3, says, knowing this, in other words, he's saying, know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, the testings of your faith. Part of the reason we go through those trials is because God wants to test our faith to see, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? If something comes your way and God's going to test your faith, because God gave us a free will. Every one of us have a free will. And God, he didn't make us robots to where we just automatically turn to God every time something goes wrong. But what God does is he allows those tests to take place in our life so we will know without a doubt that our faith in him will work out the patience between us and God, because God sometimes needs to teach us patience. I'm probably the most impatient person that I know, and I struggle with that. But and so, as a result, sometimes God has to sit me down and say, listen, you know, even if he has to put me on my knees one way or the other. But he wants us to know this, that the trying of that faith, it works patience. And then in verse 4, he says, but let patience, that word let is important there, let patience have her perfect work. In other words, give in to it. Go through the trial. Don't try to make the trial go away, but ask God to give you the strength to get through that trial. It helps us to become more dependent on Him in the trials that we go through, because that's exactly what He wants us to do. The trying of our faith will at some point bring us to the end of ourselves, to where we have no other recourse but to say, okay, God, I can't do this. I cannot fix this on my own. Only You can do it. And when a person gets to that point, that's where they have to not only depend on God, but to depend on brothers and sisters in Christ and say, I need your prayers. You know, the only thing I ever covet in life is prayers from other people. Because the Bible says, you know, we're not supposed to covet, but I think it's okay to covet other people's prayers and to ask people to pray for you. And as a pastor, the thing that I want to do best of all as a pastor is to be able to pray for our people and their individual needs. And I don't always know those needs because we're an independent group of people and people don't like to share those needs. But I don't want our people to be that way. I want them to be able to call the pastor or call the pastor's wife or send us a text or whatever and say, hey, I've got a need. I'd like you to pray about this. And I'll tell you, I'll pray with you right over the phone. I've done it before. And I have no problem doing that. I know Debbie sent a text to Barb yesterday, and I was studying and stuff and doing some other things. And she said, I think Joe would enjoy a visit from pastor. So I quit what I was doing, got cleaned up, got ready. We went straight to the hospital and spent some time with Brother Joe and Sister Debbie. And they needed that. And you know what? As a pastor, I needed that. I needed to be able to have an opportunity to go and to sit with Brother Joe and to talk to him and let him talk to me. And sometimes when somebody's going through a trial, I'll tell you, the worst thing you can do is talk. Sometimes just listen. Listen to what they have to say. And that helps us as well. You know, when we share a trial or a temptation that we're going through with a brother or sister in Christ, it teaches us patience. If we're not the one going through the trial, it helps us to be able to understand that this person is dependent totally on God, but they covet the prayers of others who love them and care for them, and they want to make sure they're doing the right thing. But I like what he says here in your workbook at the bottom of the page on page 9. He says, to truly live the Christian life means to live under Christ's ruling presence on a daily basis. Notice the word daily. It is every single day. That's why we have to understand before the first thing we should do when we wake up every morning is to greet our Lord. Just greet Him. Just say, Lord, good morning, Father. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. One of the things I like to do before I even, when I first wake up in the morning, even before I crawl out of the bed, because that's what I feel like sometimes, you just kind of crawl out of the bed, because here goes another day of trials. What are we going to face today? I mean, Sister Debbie mentioned to Barb last night, she said, you know, today we haven't had any bad news. It's really been good. And then they did a chest x-ray because they were worried about whether or not Joe had possibly pneumonia because he laid there so long. And I'm glad they're taking good care of him there, but there's no greater care than the prayers of a brother or sister who love you and care about you. But it's a daily thing, folks. I mean, it's every single day. I try, and I don't always do my best at it, but I know I could do better. We all could, is to lift up before God every single person that we can think of in our church family, and even outside of our church family. Right now, our nation, folks, I'm telling you, the trials that we're going through as a nation and the road we're headed down right now, our trials have just begun. We are going to be tested, I believe, as Christians in this world that we live in right now, because it's not getting any better. It's only getting worse. And that's part of that trying of our patience. And it's going to increase our faith as we go through this together as a church family, because I really believe that there's going to be coming a time here in the near future that the perfect work of patience is going to have it's going to have to come through, because we've got to make a stand eventually. And as a result of the stands that we'll have to make as a church family, as a church, I believe that the trying of our faith is going to be there. And we got to stick to it together as a church family. And while we're doing that, we need to be building our church up as well, being able to understand that that God's word is what we have to stand on. And we got to build our faith, and that faith, you know, patience and faith kind of work together, and they come out of reading and studying the Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God on a daily basis, folks, you're going to fall flat on your face when those trials come your way, plain and simple. So you've got to make sure that when you have an opportunity to pick up the Word of God and hide it in your heart and use it the way God wants you to use it, then when those trials come, you'll be all right. You still need prayer. It's still going to be hard. It's never going to be easy. But he says over on page 10, he says, let patience have her perfect work. The word patience comes from two different words meaning abide under. And that's what he's teaching there. And that's what we've got to do is to abide under that perfect work of God. God does not ask us to abide under the trial. He says to abide with him. And if we abide with God and we stick with the Lord as we're going through these trials, we just become stronger. And his strength is even stronger in our trials. You know, there's that old verse that we always want to throw out to people in the book of Romans, you know. Can't think of it off the top of my head, but we often quote it to people when they're going through a difficult time. Romans 8:28, yeah. We always quote that to people when they're going through a difficult time. That's why I got my wife. I can't remember like she does. But we go through a difficult time, that's the first thing we want to quote to people. All things work together for good to those that love God. And sometimes as Christians, unfortunately, what we do when someone's going through a difficult time is the first thing we ask ourselves is, wonder what they did. And that is the worst thing we could ever do. It's, you know, trials do not come only because of sin. They come to increase our patience, to increase our faith. But and that's the last verse that I want to give to somebody that's going through a difficult time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? If you love God, you wouldn't be going through this. But see, that's that modern day teaching that they want to teach to the world out there that God is all love. And, you know, if you love God, then you're not going to have a difficult time. You're not going to have a problem financially. You're not going to have a problem physically. You're not going to have a problem with life at all. You're not going to go through any trials whatsoever as long as you love God. And that's not true. But if you love God, it gives you the strength to get through those trials. Those trials do not go away. They're still there. You're going to face those trials. God didn't promise he would take them away from us. He said he would give us the strength to get through those trials. So let patience have her perfect work. Let it work in your life. Be able to get through it. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials is what James is saying there. He doesn't say if. Notice he doesn't say the word if you go through trials. He says when you go through trials. If you look at that again, he says count it all joy when you fall. He didn't say the word if. So we're all going to face them. Anybody that thinks they're never going to go through a trial because they got saved, they better back up and check again, because the trials, sometimes they get worse. More come our way because God's trying to teach us something and all that. He's teaching us how to walk to him. And he says to count it all joy. As he goes on, he says to count that all joy when you fall into many trials. And that's because Christians we got to expect the trials. Jesus said so in John 16:33. He made it clear to us over in the book of John. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. So that we can find peace in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Jesus said, you're going to go through those trials, folks, and they're not going to go away. You're going to, if Jesus suffered and went through trials, being God in the flesh, had trials, what makes us think we shouldn't have trials? We're going to go through them. We have to. But he says, but this is what Jesus says at the end of the verse, I have overcome the world. So the trials can become easier for us if we let the trial do what God intended it to do in the first place. But sometimes I do believe that we bring trials on ourselves too sometimes. When we step outside of the will of God and we begin to do things that we know we're not supposed to do, we read things we're not supposed to read, we look at things we're not supposed to look at, we listen to things we shouldn't be listening to, and we think that's okay because the rest of the world does it. Well, folks, I'm telling you, when the trials come because of our sin, that is a hard lesson to learn. But not all lessons come or trials come because of sin. Sometimes they do. And we've got to be able to differentiate between one and the other. And the Bible's clear, too, that if somebody in the church deliberately chooses to live a life of sin, it's the pastor's responsibility and the deacons of the church, it's their responsibility and the other pastors to get together with somebody when sin is brought out in public and becomes a public sin. And a church can suffer because of the sin in the church as well. And I don't know the hearts of people. I can't read a person's heart. But God does know the hearts. And when a church gets to a point where it's almost stuck and there's no growth, then it's time to dig a little and find out, okay, what's going on here? Why is this happening? And that's when the pastor will get together with the deacons of the church and say, listen, guys, we need to be praying about something. We're doing this, 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 this. We're doing everything that we know we're supposed to be doing. But sometimes it's okay to have, and I'm not talking about a church growing in numbers. I'm talking about church growing in spirit and in truth. And I would rather have a small congregation that walks with God than to have no room for anybody else to sit in our auditorium and have sin in the midst of us. Because that's when the trials will come. And when they come because of sin, folks, that God can do some terrible things. Because as Brother Dale preached, he actually kind of preached there Wednesday night. I was so proud of him. Can't wait to hear him. As a matter of fact, I've asked him to preach tonight because he had something on his heart that I wanted him to share with us. But when we go through those trials, if we know it's not because of sin, then that's when we count it as joy. We find happiness in the fact that God is testing my faith, and I just want to use that opportunity for my faith to grow and allow me to get closer to Him. But the big thing, if you go over to page 11 in your workbooks, it says to behave as a believer. Folks, that's important. That is important. And here's where I'm afraid we have fallen short as Christians in this world we live in today. We do not always behave ourselves as Christians. And James tells us how we're supposed to act. If we go further through this study, and Brother Ronnie will take it over next week, but one of the things we have to understand is we have got to learn to behave ourselves as Christians. And we know right from wrong. And we know right, and we know the right things to do sometimes. And even though it's a right thing to do, we choose not to do it. And the Bible's clear that to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, it's what? It's sin. That's exactly right, Brother Billy. It becomes sin when we know we're supposed to do something and we're not doing it. It's kind of like God saying, okay, this is what I want you to do. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Even though you know it's the right thing to do, then that is sin in the eyes of God. And that's when trouble is going to come. It's kind of like we have to have standards in our church. Churches have to, as Christians, we need to walk differently. We need to dress differently. We need to act differently. We have got to be different than the rest of the world. And the book of James is about having the belief that behaves like a Christian. And there's a difference. You can tell sometimes when you're in a large group, you can tell who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. But God knows those who have truly been born again because of what he sees in their heart. Okay, so it's not always an outward appearance that we're looking at. Sometimes it's just a meek and a quiet spirit. Sometimes it's just a person who is sober, not always cutting up with stupid jokes that make no sense whatsoever. Worldly things outside of outside of the realm of Christianity. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says here in the workbook, the escape that 1 Corinthians 10:13 is talking about, where if you look at the verse up above that, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's a key word. God is faithful. And what's he trying to do in allowing us to go through trials is to help us to become more faithful to him as well. But it says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. There's always a way out of trouble when it comes our way, especially if it's sin that raises up its head and it gives us an opportunity. We're either going to grab a hold of the sin and we're going to walk with that in our life, or we're going to turn from it, repent before it becomes sin, and turn away from it. It's kind of like, Christ explained a lot of things in a very different way when Christ was on earth. You know, when they in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus got pretty, he got pretty deep when it came to, you know, they were talking about, you know, about a man committing adultery, so on and so forth. And Jesus, he brightened that up a little bit. And he said, let me tell you something. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here. He said, if a man looks at a woman, if he just looks at a woman and he's got lust in his heart, or he's got thoughts in his heart about that woman the wrong way, what is that? He said it's adultery. He's committed adultery. Not just the act of adultery was the sin, but the thought that he had about that woman was sinful in the eyes of God. You know, the Bible's clear that every thought will be brought in and brought before God. We're going to be tested. I mean, we're going to be stand before God one day because of what we think. We often forget about that. But what we think in our minds and what we allow to go through our minds, and a lot of times that comes because of what we put before us. We have to be careful to guard ourselves and to behave as believers, as the book tells us here, to escape that sin by turning our backs on it and saying no. Just say no to sin. Very simple thing to do. Just say no to it. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the opportunity to say no. None of us have to say yes to sin. And it's a matter of just, you know, behaving ourselves like it says in our workbook. Behave ourselves. Behave as a Christian. Act like a Christian. Don't try to be something, don't try to go along with what everybody else is doing out there in this world that we live in. So our response when it comes our way is to count it as joy. But at the same time, we need to let that patience work in us, and we need to behave ourselves as believers. And then he goes on down in verse 5, he's telling us to pray for wisdom. When patience comes our way, we have to take a few minutes, when trials come our way, part of that gaining the wisdom of God is being patient with God, because the trial is going to depend on how long it takes for God to teach us the lesson. I believe that trial will continue in our life until we learn that, okay, I don't need to do this, or I need to do this. And sin hits us either way. Doing the right thing and not knowing the right thing and not doing it, that's sin. If we choose to do the wrong thing, well, that's sin too. So sin's ugly, folks. I mean, it'll destroy a church. It'll destroy a relationship between a man and his wife. It'll destroy a relationship between a person and their friends. Sin is terrible. And there's not enough preaching in this world today against sin. But we need to, when that time comes, we need to take time to pray. And he says the text here is dealing with trials and temptations that vex us all. We all go through trials and temptations. And when we're in over our heads, we become conscious that we lack wisdom. When we get to the point where we don't know, it's a sad thing, you know, and I've heard Brother Joe say it from up here many times. Sometimes we say, well, I didn't have nothing else to do, so I thought I better pray about it. No, pray about it first. That's using God's wisdom. That's gaining on God's wisdom. God is shaping our lives to be perfect and entire, he says, wanting nothing. So if we got our heart where it's supposed to be, when we're going through the trials and the temptations that are before us, and we're seeking God and we're seeking wisdom, and we want to know about that wisdom, then believe it or not, God will send it our way. But where do you get it from? You get it from the Word of God. That's where it comes from. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Depend on the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that in the service coming up as well, about God's Word again. Because if you don't stay in the Word of God, folks, you're going to fall flat on your face. We're going to fall flat on our face without the Word of God. And on our knees, praying and asking God for the right kind of wisdom that we need to have in order to get through the trials and the temptations and to learn the patience that He wants us to learn. And that's important that we're able to do that. So knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, the right knowledge concerning the value of trials makes it possible for us to have a joyful attitude when those trials come our way, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with this thing with Brother Joe and Sister Debbie yet until they get through all the tests that they're going to be running. But I know when I was with Joe yesterday. He was in good, spirits. And I was glad to see that. I mean, he was sleepy. God bless him. I mean, bless his heart. We're sitting there talking, and he shut his eyes, and he just kind of dozed. And finally, I said, well, Brother Joe, I'll tell you what. You look tired. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll let you get some sleep. But it was just a good time knowing that, you know, he was concerned about, you know, he was concerned that Brother Ronnie didn't know nothing about him being still in there, needed somebody to teach the Sunday school class. I told him, I said, I'll let Ronnie know. And I said, if Ronnie can't do it, I'll be glad to step in. And so, you know, here we are. But he was happy to know that, oh, somebody filled my spot, you know, because that's important to Brother Joe. And he loves teaching the Word of God. But we don't know where that's going to take them. But with their attitude, the way that it is, whatever the outcome, they're going to learn a lesson. And that's the important part. Any of us who goes through difficult times, if there's a lesson to be learned from a trial that we're going through, and we don't ask God for the wisdom to get us through that. I mean, look what he says there. He says, if any man lack wisdom, and that goes right into after talking about the perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In verse 4, he says, if any man lack wisdom, he's saying, in other words, if you don't understand, if you don't have the wisdom to get you through what you're going through, ask God to give it to you. The only way you're going to get godly wisdom, folks, is out of the Word of God. So part of asking God is searching the Word of God as well. He said, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. In other words, he does not hold back his wisdom. He will give you the wisdom that you need to have just to get you through that trial. Because it takes wisdom, folks. And there's a huge difference between wisdom and knowledge. A person can have all the knowledge in the world and be the most unwise person you'd ever met. So it's not about knowledge, it's about wisdom. And I've known people that didn't have a lot of knowledge about certain things, but boy, did God give them wisdom. I mean, a lot of wisdom. And wisdom comes, folks, by asking God for it. And because he goes on down in that same verse, he says, and upbraideth not. In other words, when you ask God for wisdom, God will give it to you liberally. But you cannot back away from that. Keep praying. Keep asking for God to give you that wisdom that you need to have to get you through it. And it shall be given him. It didn't say it may be given him. It said it shall be given him. In other words, if you ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. I think of the story of Solomon. When Solomon first became the king, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for gold. He didn't ask for all those wives he had. The only thing he really asked for, but he asked for wisdom to lead God's people. But then after God gave him the wisdom, and then he gave him the riches, and he gave him the wealth, he gave him everything else, what did that do to Solomon? Took his eyes off of God. And he brought in women from other cultures, and it destroyed him. And he allowed that to happen to himself. He allowed that because he let the lust of his eye guide him away from the wisdom that he should have had. But with the understanding, you know, Peter says it clearly, that the trying of our faith worketh patience as well. 1 Peter 1:7, the Bible tells us that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold and precious and that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. Folks, if you want to give God glory, if you want to be able to be recognized by Christ one day as being the right kind of a Christian and to stand before him one day and him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, then you got to let the fire of those trials that we go through build up within us the faith that we need to have. And that gives us patience. And when you go through certain trials in life, some trials will be enough to get you through other trials that may come your way. And sometimes those trials we go through are there as a lesson, not just for you, but for somebody else. It prepares you to be able to help someone else go through that same trial later on in their life. And with that understanding, and when we look at it that way, and we look at it as, you know, these trials are more precious than gold, because they're building us up and making us to become a stronger Christian so that we can behave ourselves and we can know the difference between right and wrong. The last thing that I want to see in our church, or any church, honestly, is that God turn us over to a reprobate mind, minds that don't know the difference between right and wrong. And that can happen if we get away from the Word of God. And it can happen if we don't let those trials that come our way build up our faith in Him, causing us to walk closer with Him. And you know, I don't want to get down and say, Lord, send me some trials so I can be a wiser man. I certainly don't want to do that. But when they come my way and our way as a church, I want to make sure that we're prepared for that. Faith tested, you know, when the faith is tested, it can produce patience in us when it comes our way. Romans 5, verses 3 through 4 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. I mean, you ever see the some of the disciples, they were happy that they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. When trials come our way, we should find joy in the fact that, you know, there's something in this for me to learn. And, you know, when I was talking to Joe, the second time I went to see him there, and, you know, both times he's like, well, he said, I know the Lord has a lesson in this for me. But he said, I keep asking him what it is. And God will reveal that to him eventually. And so no matter what the outcome, it's a win-win. No, either way, he's going to win through this. So, but that's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So in the Bible, patience is not a passive acceptance of our circumstances. It comes from the Greek word hupomone, which is simply, it means it remains with us. Our trials, as long as we're on this earth, we're going to go through trials, folks. It's never going to go away. We're going to get through those trials. But we got to let patience have her perfect work in us. So to truly turn trials into triumph, we've got to let the patience do its work. And we've got to be able to go before the Lord God Almighty, and we've got to be able to take those trials to them, and we got to share them with one another. And that word, sometimes we see the word patience, and that word perfect, a lot of times, that word perfect means mature. And we got to let that patience, the patience that we learn through the trials that we go through, build our faith, draw us closer to God, and help us to be stronger Christians, and helps us to behave ourselves as Christians. You know, I'd hate to say that, you know, 90% of our church family is, we're all senior citizens. I mean, we don't have a lot of young families in our church. And I wish God would send them our way. Because, you know, we have, I believe if we've got enough wisdom in this church because of the length of salvation that the people have had in our church. I tell you, these young people could learn a lot out there in this world if they would just come to church. And it just sit down beside one of the people in our church who's been saved for quite a while and just sit with them. And sit with them at the feet of Jesus and listen to what Jesus has to say. And if they would learn to let patience have its perfect work in their life, because when a person gets saved, it's not going to get any easier. But they have to understand there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. This younger generation, they think they know everything. And a lot of them think that they're invincible. None of us are invincible. None of us know what the end of today holds. Don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. But one thing I do know is as long as we do what's right, as long as we follow the Lord, we'll get through those trials when they come our way. All right, let's go through these questions. Want to make sure we go through those. Monday, according to James 1:1-5, what does God use to bring about patience? Trials. Trying of our faith. Absolutely. On Tuesday, in 1 Peter 5:5-11, what are the things God calls to us to do in order to perfect us? Absolutely. Submission, humility, sober, vigilant, and steadfastness. You know, be steadfast no matter what. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Wednesday, according to 1 Peter 4:14, how should we respond to being reproached for the name of Christ? What does this reproach accomplish? So how should we respond? Be happy. Don't let it tear you down. You know, that's a hard thing for the world to understand. That's why they look at us and say, boy, them people are strange over there. Look what they're going through. And they're happy. Folks, we got a lot to be happy about. So the second part of that, what does this accomplish? What does this reproach accomplish? When we're happy in our trials, what does it accomplish? It gives God the glory. It glorifies God. Absolutely. Thursday, compare Hebrews 12:2 with James 1:2. What is true joy connected to, and how is it revealed? Okay, what it does, reveals our faith in Christ and our obedience to Christ, and gets us through, and it gives us endurance through the trials. It helps us to endure those trials when they come our way. We don't want to run from them. So sometimes the worst thing you can do is say, God, take this trial away from me. No, Lord, get me through this trial. Teach me what you're wanting me to know. And that's a hard thing to do. Friday, what does Hebrews 2:9-10 teach us was made possible through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Salvation, becoming his children and becoming the sons unto glory, his sons unto glory. Saturday, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, what does God provide in our temptation? A way of escape, absolutely. Okay, that's all I have. Brother Billy, will you dismiss us, please? Amen. Thank you.